Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That, of course, the voice of Hennepin County Attorney charging the first white officer in Minnesota to be criminally prosecuted in the death of a black civilian. That is right. Derek Chauvin, arrested this morning, is the first white officer in Minnesota to be criminally prosecuted in the death of a black civilian. And while the announcement of charges are welcome relief to some, many in Minnesota want to see the other three officers that were involved in George Floyd's death also prosecuted. Joining us now is Mike Bryant. Mike is a criminal defense attorney from Bradshaw and Bryant. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Their logo is Seeking Justice for the Injured. And Mike, I'm so happy to have you on the show because I want to break down these charges. Thanks for joining us.
Good. How are you today?
Good. I'm okay. It's a tough day. It's a tough, yeah. Tough day. And Mike's joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. We heard Mike Freeman say third degree murder charges. What does that mean, right, and what penalty does that carry?
Well, it can carry up to 25 years as far as the penalty in prison. One of the big issues was, you know, there's been statements and there's been issues that come up on why wasn't it first degree. And to get first degree, which would be lifetime in prison, it has to be done by a grand jury. So you'd have to convene a grand jury. First, you got a mechanical question of how you do that in today's age with COVID and all those issues, mm-hmm, to get people together to do something like that. And then second, you'd have to go through the testimony, you'd have to go through things. So that takes time. And so when he made the statement that we may be looking at other charges, we could see other charges either against this defendant or eventually against all the other three police officers. Now, whether or not all three of them would be charged, that'll come down to where they were, what they were looking at, what they had time to see, and those type of things. But we've seen charges, and, you know, people want more charges or want different charges, but these are the charges we got for the moment. And, you know, County Attorney Freeman said basically it's the fastest they've ever charged anybody. We saw the autopsy report today, and it'll be interesting to see what's done with that and how that's amended over time.
So is it possible that a first-degree murder charge will be added at a later date?
They could. They could ask for a grand jury, okay, and they could go through that, and they could add that if they decide the evidence supports that. If they, you know, none of the officers are talking. They've all taken the Fifth, so they don't have anything there. They've got the reports they submitted, which seem to be completely contrary to what happened. But, you know, they've got to put more evidence together. There has to be more of a follow-up on just this autopsy that came up. You know, there's a statement in the autopsy right now of possible intoxicants. And, you know, they'll be able to test for those things and find out if there were intoxicants involved and what that means.
Do you anticipate charges against the other three? And if so, what do you think they're going to be?
Do I anticipate them? Boy, you know, they have one officer that seemed to clearly be watching it and being able to see everything. You have the other two from where they were in the distance and how they were looking. You know, the prosecutors around the country haven't been able to convict police officers. And, you know, one of the things the Hennepin County office did with the Rutzik case was they took their time and they charged him with something they knew they could get a jury to say yes to, or they believe they could get a jury to say yes to. And mm-hmm. that'll be the big question with the other charges or additional charges.
Mike, we're told that now in the video that other two officers, one held Floyd's back and one held yep. Floyd's leg. Could that yep. be aggravating issues that will add to sure. greater charges?
Sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, they could aid in abetting. They could be charged with manslaughter themselves. They could look at all sorts of. I mean, the one thing that has to be looked at here is. Police officers are given a standard of what a reasonable police officer would do. So there's some other issues that come in proving the case, like the depraved mind cases. What would a reasonable officer do under these circumstances? And that's different than what an ordinary person does. And that's been, you know, the big defense that's been used so many times by defense lawyers and has been reasons why prosecutors haven't charged things out is looking at can they convince a jury that your reasonable officer looking at this wouldn't have done what they did.
Mike Bryan, anything I didn't ask you that you want to throw in here?
No, I think, you know, the big thing is going to be timing. You know, right yeah. now they're still working on when they're going to get around to having criminal trials. And so there's going to be a lot of timing issues that get involved here. And that first appearance is going to be interesting to see how they do it and what's said by each side at that very first appearance about what's to be expected as time moves along.
And CCO will be covering all of that. Mike Bryant, thank you so much. From Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. So how did we get here? How did we get to this place where Black people are being killed in the street? It's a thousand little cuts, my friends. It is years and decades and centuries of racism. Two men who experienced one of those cuts firsthand are joining me next. They experienced this in their own office building. They're going to share their story next. Another example of systemic racism that happened right here in our city and just this past week. The co-founders of Top Figure, a social media digital marketing agency, were approached as they were working out in their building right here in Minneapolis by a man who said, "Are you sure you're supposed to be here? Are you sure that you really work here? Where's your fob?" And then called 911. This is how it happens, friends. A thousand little cuts until it boils over into the rage that we are seeing on the streets now. The co-founders of Top Figure, Abdi Hassan and Salman Elmi, are joining me now on the air to share their story. Gentlemen, so grateful to have you on the air today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So this is a story, obviously. We saw the Central Park thing. We see this. I mean, obviously, the horrible George Floyd situation. Is this the first time you've had an experience with this kind of racism?
To this magnitude, yes. We've always been dealing with certain levels of, like, you know, getting weird looks because we're in the entrepreneurship scene, you know. So they're like, that's always been there. But to this magnitude and to be so direct and so clear, yes.
And set the stage for us. You guys just walked in and you're working out and he just started talking to you and asking you questions?
Exactly. And the sad part about it is, like, we go to this gym, like, all the time, you know. We're here, like, almost every other day, you know. This is our office, you know, so, and the gym is just downstairs, so this is the most convenient gym, and all the other gyms are closed right now, so we've just been working out here the whole quarantine time, and we've actually never seen him in the gym, you know. This is the first time us seeing him in the gym, and the whole internet was just, like, sad and tragic, and, like, how it all went down. It could have all been avoided just simply by, you know, coming up to us and saying in a nice way, "Hey, what do you guys do?" and starting a conversation like that rather than just, "Hey, do you guys belong here? What are you doing here?" You know, like, I demand everyone to show me key cards now. You know, as tenants, we don't have to show other tenants key cards. You know, mm-hmm. That's not our obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And that's a safe space for us. Like, you know, we utilize that WeWork office space because we, you know, we enjoy, like, the fact that we can network with other business professionals. And the reason why our business has grown was because we chose to use that workspace. And meeting people is something very frequent that happens in that space. And, you know, that conversation could have happened so much more differently, but instead it went this way. And that's just a sad reality.
So this happens to you. And I imagine when it happens, because anybody who's ever been a victim of any kind of racism or anti-Semitism, it's always shocking, I think, in the beginning. And you almost like don't know how to react. Like, is this really happening? Which is surprising. You guys did take out your phones. You had the presence of mind to do this. Was that something that somebody suggested to you? Or did you know that this is unfair and I need to document this now?
Yeah. So about the documentation, it's actually funny because he's the one that pulled out his phone first and started taking pictures of all of us, you know? So he was taking pictures of all of us so he could send it to the building manager and say, these people don't belong here. That's when we pulled out our phone. And in the video, you can see he's actually taking pictures of us, you know? And that's when my colleague, Zach, pulled out his phone and started recording the whole incident, you know? And that's when things just took a complete left. And he just said his name on camera. He was like, I'm Tom. And I'm a tenant of this building. Are you guys? And then we said, yes, we're a tenant also. He was like, what office? Where? I need to see it. And then he said, and then we're like, no, we're not going to show you nothing. We're not going to show you our key card because we don't have to. That's when he said, the biggest threat, which is, I'm going to call 911.
Yep. And when a white man says that to black men, I'm sure there is a different sense. I'm a white girl, so but I guarantee that there is a different sense when you hear those words. And did you have fear in that moment?
Absolutely. It was just unease. We were just at unease. We didn't know what was going to happen. And the crazy thing is we didn't expect this to happen really within 24 hours of the whole situation that happened with the whole George Floyd situation. And it's crazy how it was so recent, you know, and it's like we never expected that to happen right after that incident.
Exactly. And another thing I really want to mention and add in there, as a black African-American person, one of the biggest threats now is I'm going to call 911 on you, because that's essentially, in a certain way, almost as big as a death threat, you know? Because let's say, thank God the police didn't show up, though. Let's say the police show up with their guards up, you know, and something would have happened. The story could have been way, way, way worse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially
I think
for
that's
a
so
for a non-emergency situation. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I you're here to talk. I'm here to listen. But I think those words that you just said, and was that Salman or Abdi who just said that?
Abdi.
Abdi, you said when somebody threatens to call 911, that is a severe threat. I think we all need to understand those words, that is a threat to black people in America. I'm going to call 911 on you. And hopefully that's sinking in. Let's move to the second part of the story where you post this on your social media. Then what happens?
Yeah, it was crazy because when we went to bed that night, it was just like, it had like probably like 1,000 likes, you know, just went to bed. And that morning when we woke up, like just something happened, it exploded, you know, all the news articles were reaching out, all the big social media channels were reposting it, celebrities were reposting it, people were reaching out, they were like, so much amazing support came our way, you know, people were saying like, you guys don't deserve this, you guys definitely do belong, and we didn't even think it was going to go this insane, you know, it just went worldwide, like boom. You know, like I've seen people sending me videos from the UK yesterday. It was on their TV. It was in India. So it went like worldwide. And like, I think the biggest reason why it went worldwide is because of that phrase, that threat. It's so big right now. And there's the other incident that happened in New York, you know? So like people are trying to make this situation serious. They're trying to bring light to it because it's very serious. You cannot threaten people like that.
And would you say that that's the lesson here? Because that's, you know, we want to open conversations here on this show. We need to learn because these things are wrong and they're only being shined a light on now because we have video and we have viral videos and we have social media. So I think that's such a benefit to people who have been persecuted. But is that the message? Is that those words are being weaponized now, the 911 call? And what is your message to folks who are watching this and listening today?
Yeah, so from this incident, there was two big messages, really, is the part that the 911, also another big part is the part where the we don't belong. That was another big one that so many people, like, it scratched so many people the wrong way just because, like, we already have it harder as it is, and especially being entrepreneurs, you know, trying to change things and hustling and working every day to tell you, like, you don't belong in your own office space, your own building, and a place where you pay rent for it, you know? So that is another, those are the two big things that really got the takeaway. But a lot of people are starting to understand how severe it really is to tell somebody, I'm going to call the cops on you, you know, especially towards Black people, you know, and how serious it is. And with everything that's going on in Minnesota right now, with all the protesting and that's, it just ties together so, like, well, right now, you know, I think that's the biggest lesson so many people are learning from this experience, you know.
I want everybody to know that the person who threatened you, his lease has been terminated by the building owner and the building management. And I know that building. That building thrives on diversity. It encourages it. And that is definitely not an element that the building management would want to have in there. So I'm really glad you got such support globally and support from local management. And I'm really glad that you joined us today. Oh, give a plug to your business because we want to make sure that's a huge success too.
Yeah. So on it's Team Top Figure on all social platforms, and follow our technology company Tavolo. That's TAVOLO. You know Tavolo. You can download that too. But yeah, all social platforms, Team Top Figure, and we just truly appreciate you for having us on today.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Abdi Hassan Salman Elmi, you are the Top Figure co-founders. Look for them at Team Top Figure on social media. Follow them. You guys, I'm sorry that this happened to you, and thank you for sharing today.
Thank you.
Bye.
We just have to call it out. We just have to call it out when we see it, because calling it out at this level, which should never happen, makes maybe that it won't escalate to a greater level, and there won't be another George Floyd. But this is where it starts, friends. This is where it starts. The phone lines are open. 651-989-9226. I'm not even asking you a question. They've been booked all day. I want to hear your thoughts. 651-989-9226. Next. It's a tough day. It is a hard day. It's a difficult time. We were already living through a pandemic. And now, with this brutal killing of George Floyd, we are grieving. We are mourning. We are trying to learn and trying to do better. That's also a process when you're trying to learn and grow. That is a learning process. So just a lot of emotions, a lot of emotions. I'm not asking you a specific question because I think that I want to hear your voice and just what are you thinking today? What are you experiencing today? What do you want to join in on the conversation? My phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Kay's in St. Paul. Kay, thank you for the call.
Yeah, sure, Jordan. I just want to say that, first of all, what happened is absolutely horrendous. I think the Minneapolis Police Department has big problems. You know, it's consistent. I think they need to look at their union and whatever. But I think we all need to have some clear heads here and calm down. And what the gentleman said on CNN, that we all have to look at our internally, our own self. You know, I'm a white woman, and I have to, I admit, I sometimes wonder, you know, it's like inbred. I'm older, different generation than today. But I have had, I think it comes from unfortunately, it goes always, because I've had a situation specifically where, a younger, maybe in his late early 30s, Black man, was screaming at me and telling me, come on, come on, call it, say it to me, say it to me. He was like egging me on because I was trying to, you know, tell him where the lines were when we were all in line at this establishment. And he just got mad at me and he was egging me on. And so we all have to look at it. It goes both ways. Yes. It goes all ways. It's
okay.
Sad.
I appreciate that. And you're 100% right. And that is what Van Jones said. He says everybody, every human has an implicit bias because we are different, and that's okay. We are different. But we're never going to wipe away us being aware of our differences, but we can do a better job to eliminate fear. We can do a better job to be more respectful and more understanding. And I pray that that is what George Floyd's death is here to teach us, because there have to be lessons. There have to be lessons learned. His death will not be in vain. Tom's in Maple Grove. Tom, welcome to the show. What would you like to chat about, sir?
Yeah, like I say, I'm not racist, but when you see someone coming at you and they say you cross the other side of the street, because I have 60 years of experience of that's who's doing the crime. And what you and what every other media person is pussyfooting around is that you don't say that's who's committing the crime. If we have a generation,
Tom, everybody commits crimes. People of all colors commit crimes.
But if you look at the percentages, how many times are you robbed or done by a 50-year-old white Jewish woman? Never. That's because that's not who's doing the crime. So you have a bias in you, because that is, I have 60 years of experience of that's who's doing the crime. So I walk across
Tom?
The street.
Tom, I'm willing to hear that point of view. I don't necessarily think it's helpful right now, but I'm glad you got in, because I do like to say all voices are welcome here. So they are. And we're going to move on from there. MC's in St. Paul. Hello, MC in St. Paul. Thank you and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for allowing me to come on it. But I have a question for you. And I'm wondering,
yes, sir,
what is it about this specific incident, more so than all the other ones that we know so well, that's triggered such a response? I'd like to hear what you think.
You know, that's an excellent question, because we should be outraged. Yeah, and we were. I mean, hopefully we all were, you know, at Jamar Clark, at Freddie Gray. We should be. At Eric Garner, absolutely we should be outraged. I wonder if, I mean, this one, I mean, you know, Jamar happened in Minneapolis as well, but I wonder if it's the fact that it was on video and so egregious with the knee on the neck. And I don't know that I have a good answer for this, MC, and I don't have the right answer. You just asked for my opinion.
Is my observation, or did this trigger a worse response than any of the other ones that we're talking about, or is that just my imagination because I live in St. Paul?
Well, this has triggered, first of all, a swifter response by the police. Even though they should have charged the officer yesterday, they did charge him today. So you're saying the response by the community? You're saying the protests and the rioting?
Well, I mean, it's all the same. It seems so cataclysmic that we're seeing such response across the nation.
Right.
And the president is getting in on the act and from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just my perspective because it's so immediate in my face. But it seems to me that this, more than any of the other situations, seem to trigger a worse response than the others. The other thing,
well, do you have an opinion on that? Do you have an opinion as to why?
Yeah,
hit me. Go ahead, bring it. Bring it.
And before I bring that opinion, I just want to say there's a difference between the looters and the protesters. You know, and the protesters are in direct reaction to the incident. The looters, to my opinion, have a different agenda. And they're
correct.
Criminals. So
100%.
Let's move on.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, but here's my 2 cents on the bit, and that is that what seems to be so striking in this particular incident is the egregious indifference, the vicious indifference in human life. You got people who are not trained in law enforcement, not trained. I presume they're not trained in first aid. Telling this officer who he is. That you're killing him. Get off his neck. And he's just sitting there kind of twiddling his thumbs, kind of ho-hum. And it looked to me as though I'm in my ancient age, and so my eyes could be playing tricks on me. But it looked to me like the paramedics had reached around this guy's knee to get to his the deceased to get to his neck. And he was reluctant to even move his knees in. And so in conclusion, my last part of this rant, if I may, is that I almost feel better if it had been more of an aggressive act. You know, I mean, I think the reaction wouldn't be so extreme if the officer had been more aggressive in taking this man's life than so lackadaisical and casual to think that you can just extract the life of another human being while being recorded and knowing that this is you're cutting off his ear. So thank you so much.
MC, I'm glad you got in, and maybe that's why the reaction, because they were so laissez-faire about killing him. It was, I mean, it's just devastating. It's just devastating. The whole thing is devastating. Allison, Dan, I see your calls. Please, please, please stay on the line. I want to take them. I want to hear your opinions and your thoughts. 651-989-9226. Quick break. Allison, you're up next. I'm so glad we're back. I can't wait to hear your calls. And I meant to tell you, the weather was brought to you by APA Medical. Now that we've got the sponsor in, we can go to Allison. Allison is in St. Paul. Thank you for hanging on the line, Allison, because we've just opened the phone. So the number is 651-989-9226. I'd love to hear what's on your mind today. Allison, you're up, love.
Hi, thanks. I'm just calling because I was listening. I'm curious about what was going on everywhere. And I heard Tom call in, and I was deeply hurt and offended when he said he's not a racist, because as a white woman, when I hear those words come out of somebody's mouth as the first thing, I know that what's following is a racist comment. Because I'm sure what he meant is, I don't make racial slurs. I think that integrating the schools was good, and I'll drink in the same water fountain. But, like, the rest is the bias that we all have, and that's what we have to fight against, that white fragility that we have. And we need to wake up, because that's why our city's burning.
Thank you. Allison, hurts. I so appreciate this call. Keep going.
No, I'm just hurting because I'm hurting for my friends that are people of color. I'm hurting for my white friends who are allies. And I'm hurting for our city. And I'm hurting for the family of George Floyd. And I just can't stand when we can't wake up and hear people's voices. Wake up, because we don't need this. We don't need to destroy something. We can hear you, and I don't have the words to say how badly I'm hurting right now for these people, and I don't know, but we have to wake up.
Allison, thank you for calling in. Thank you for those comments, and I can feel your emotion through the radio here, and I know you're saying, you're articulating what so many people are feeling. And I know you feel that way, and I know you wish we would all wake up, and it's going to be a long haul, because it has been. Black men have been killed, and racism has been a thing since there were black and white in this country. And it is tragic, and I pray that this is the seminal moment, that this is it, where people can wake up and we stop blaming Black people for being upset about this, because they have a right to be upset, and we should be upset. Every color of people should be upset. And I can hear Allison's emotion, and I echo that. I feel you, Allison. I do. I feel you. Patrick's in Maple Grove. Patrick, just phone lines are open. Jump in here, sir.
Hey, how are you today? Rough day.
Well, I'm sad. I'm sad. Yeah, I'm sad today.
Hey, here's what I don't get is, you know, we all feel horrible about this, and I'm not trying to minimize that, but why isn't anybody saying to Governor Walz and everyone else in the military and the police, why aren't they protecting these buildings and these people we pay taxes for? I mean, I would feel horrible if that was my business down there, and I don't consider them protesters, I consider them rioters. They need to...
Many are protesters. Many are protesters, and there is a small core group that are looting.
Yeah, and I understand, but that's the difference. One's a protester, one's a rioter. The rioters can be taken away from the protesters and removed. Why are we doing that?
Well, it was the decision, I believe, of, and I'm not going to justify any kind of policing decision, but Mayor Fry decided that he wasn't going to put military in or police in yesterday because he felt that they wouldn't be able to be effective without hurting people. And he said, brick and mortar is not as important as human life. So he wanted to.
Was his house that was being burnt down, he would feel the same way?
I can't speak for the mayor, but then, of course, we know that at 3 a.m., the National Guard did come in and cleared the streets, and that was the decision by the governor to then return to order and have that done. I don't make those decisions, and I'm glad I don't.
One more thing. Do you think that your politics are leaning you one direction here? Because you seem to be leaning defending them in this decision instead of saying they did not act fast enough, nor did they do the right thing.
Who did not act fast enough? The police?
The government Mike Freeman? Didn't. The police didn't. None of them did. I mean,
act fast enough how, Patrick?
They didn't. Well, because they waited till 3 a.m. to react. And by that time, buildings were burnt down and more property was damaged and more people were affected.
You know what? That's a decision that the mayor and the governor make. I don't necessarily want to weigh in on that. I'm just so grateful that more people weren't hurt, that people weren't killed last night by those fires or by anybody else. So I'm grateful that it has now been resolved. And hopefully tonight we will not return to that kind of violence. We will open the phones again in the next hour. We will hear from Mike Bryant on the charges against Derek Chauvin today. And we will also talk to Sloan Martin next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.